Amen. Whether Jesus comes tonight, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, or even 100 years from now, for all practical purposes, Jesus is coming soon. It should behoove all of us to be prepared and to be ready to meet him when he comes. We don't know the day or the hour in which he will come. So let's just make sure that we are ready every day in the event he returns. One of two things is going to happen. Either Jesus will come to us, or we will die and go to him. One or the other is going to take place. But in either case, we need to make sure that we are ready. Turn in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 13. Want to read not just the verses that were read by Brother Lamont, but I also want to read verses 1 through 3. Matthew 13, 1 through 3. And then we'll look at 34 and 35 again. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Jesus, the master teacher, utilized common everyday things to convey valuable eternal truths. As a matter of fact, Jesus was in the habit of using parables very freely. He used parables so extensively that it is stated in verse number 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Jesus, in an effort to convey spiritual truths, used material, physical illustrations with which his audience was already familiar. We have defined traditionally a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The idea inherent in the word parable is to cast along beside. We take a human physical illustration and cast it alongside a spiritual truth in order to drive and communicate the point. When we think about the various illustrations that Jesus used, he used a lot of things that people were familiar with. A sower went forth to sow. He talks about the seed, and of course the seed was the word of God, and the different kinds of soil. He used the birds of the air to teach spiritual truths. He used the foxes to teach spiritual truths. He used governmental coins, money, to illustrate spiritual truths. He used the lilies of the field. He used fishing to illustrate spiritual truths. He used the vine, the door, the light, leaven, all kinds of things in order to communicate spiritual truths, I want to use something that we are very familiar with today to convey some spiritual truths. Some people are not as familiar with these as are others, because a number of changes have taken place in the last 20 or 30 years. But I want to share some important truths illustrated by a common everyday item, some important truths illustrated by postage stamps. Years ago, I ran across a preacher who preached a sermon called Postage Stamp Christians. Sister Coor, some months ago, had an article on how Christians are like postage stamps. And I want to just mention several things that we can learn from postage stamps. One of the things that we learn from postage stamps is the fact, like us, postage stamps were made. They did not just happen. The blind forces of nature, guided by no intelligence, did not make postage stamps. They were intelligently made. They were intelligently designed and printed, just like man was intelligently created and made by the Almighty God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 reminds us that God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We didn't just happen by chance. We didn't gradually evolve. God made us, and the psalmist makes this exceedingly clear in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise. This is verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Aren't you glad that you were made by a loving, intelligent, compassionate being who was filled with wisdom, such that the psalmist would be prompted to declare, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So God made us. We didn't just happen. No man has the power to make a man. You know, I was looking at some figures in a wax museum, and some of those figures look so real, but they are just wax. You can't breathe the breath of life into them. You can't animate those wax figures like God animated us. I was talking to Brother Gary, and it's good to have everybody back from the youth conference, and as far as I understand, our young people were on their best behavior. Is that correct? Okay, I see even Dad over here bobbing his head up and down. And I understand that the young people had a good time. I was able to attend some of the sessions on yesterday, and I'm glad that they were benefited. But one of the things that Brother Gary was sharing with me this evening after they returned is that some of the sessions got our young people excited, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that the connection was made. I understand that the lesson that was delivered in one of the sessions was illustrated, and I think the reason why the connection was made because he used some common illustrations that drove the point home that he was trying to make. Now, he used the illustration. Y'all remember the illustration of the Oreo? Y'all don't remember that? Okay, some of y'all didn't see weren't in that session. Y'all remember the session with the Oreo? Okay. Yeah, okay, they remember it. They just kind of shy in responding. There was also an apple pie. Y'all remember the apple pie? And the lesson that was taught by the apple pie. I'm not going to go into the lesson, but I just wanted to mention that even now we use illustrations that hopefully our young people and our old people as well can identify with. But the postage stamp teaches us a number of lessons. Another lesson the postage stamp teaches us is it bears the image of dignity. You have some special people on the stamp. You have presidents like Lincoln and Roosevelt and Washington. You have distinguished personalities from the worlds of art and culture and political science, and people like Martin Luther King, athletic competitors, all kinds of positive folk are memorialized on stamps. And of course, God has placed his own image stamped upon our hearts. When God made man from the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the man of life, and God made man in his own image. Not only that, but stamps are made by those in authority and governed and controlled by authority. There are laws that regulate the use of stamps. Similarly, there are laws that regulate our lives. We are governed by divine authority. Jesus said, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Acts 3, 22 and 23, Peter reminded his auditors that Moses had said, the Lord your God is going to raise up unto you a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. And whoever will not hearken or heed this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. That prophet he was speaking of was none other than Jesus Christ, who now has all authority and who operates and rules as head over the church. Stamps, at least it used to be, that stamps were of no real value until they were licked. Of course, you have self-adhesive stamps now. You don't have to lick stamps anymore. But it used to be when you wanted to affix a stamp to a letter, to a package, you had to lick it first. And even though you don't have many stamps now, there still are some, but I always buy the self-adhesive type that you don't have to lick, but there are still some that you do lick. But with reference to us, we still have to be licked a lot of times before we are of real benefit. Daniel got licked in Daniel chapter 6. The three Hebrew boys got licked in Daniel chapter 3. Paul got licked numerous times in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hardships, Paul suggests, are good for us if we endure. And so I'm equating hardships and tough times and suffering with being licked. So in order for us to really be the best that we can be, we have to be licked. Not only that, but stamps are various values. You know, they're thinking about raising the price again, especially right now of the postage card stamps. Back years ago, stamps, you could get a stamp for 3 cents. And they moved up to 5 cents. then move on up to 10 cents. But they are still going up. I say just make them 50 cents and let them stay there for about 3 years, insofar as a first class stamp. But there are still different values on stamps. You can get a 50 cent stamp, a dollar stamp. You can get the regular first class stamp. I think it's 43 cents. Is that correct? No, 44 cents. They've raised it up. It's 44 now. 45? Can I get 46? Do I hear 46? 46 going once? What about 47? Got 47 over here. Is it 47? Is it 47? But they have various values. And if you don't have a first class stamp, you can take a lesser class stamp and you can combine it with another stamp so that you will reach the value that is needed in order to send your letter or to send your package. All of us are equally loved by God, but we have different talents, different abilities. Jesus illustrated this in a notable parable in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Master called his servants. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to a third he gave 1 talent. Recognizing that different individuals have different abilities, like stamps have different values. But though our talents differ, we must do what we can with what we have. Stamps also cooperate and work together with each other. A 10-cent stamp will work with a 44-cent stamp, or a 29-cent stamp, or a 50-cent stamp. It doesn't make any difference. All sizes work together on a letter or a package. Christians are required by God to work together that we might accomplish the work of the Lord. Jesus prayed that we might be together and work together in John 17, 20 through 22. Paul emphasized and pleaded for unity among God's people in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Furthermore, postage stamps will work anywhere you put them. On a letter, on a package, whether it's large or whether it's small. Christians are to have the same kind of spirit. Christians are humble and do all they can anywhere they might be. On a little job or a big one. Doesn't make any difference. The work needs to be done. And there's no job that is beneath the sophisticated dignity of those who think they are important in the body. We should be willing to work anywhere. We should be willing to pick up sticks. We should be willing to serve a cup of cold water. We should be willing to wash feet. We should be willing to pick up trash. Whatever needs to be done, we should be willing to do it. Doesn't make any difference where the job is, or that some might regard it as menial. We should be willing to do it. Stamps have to be purchased. A stamp is no good until it's bought. Christians, likewise, had to be purchased. We are really no good unless and until we are bought. And Paul makes this known in unimpeachable terms. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul told the Ephesian elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he has purchased with his own blood. Finally, stamps persevere. Stamps stick to it until they reach their destination. This must be the spirit and the attitude exemplified by those of us who are children of God. We must have a special spiritual stick-to-itiveness. We must stick to it until the very end, until we reach our destination. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. But in order for a stamp to do its job and accomplish its purposes, it has to be canceled. They have to stamp it and cancel it, then it can be sent on its way. In order for us to do our job and function as the people of God, we have to have our sins cancel out. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you have not had your sins canceled, you can't live for God. You can't bring forth spiritual fruit. You can't reach heaven as a destination until you have those sins canceled out. If you are a Christian but have fallen by the wayside, in order to be reinstated into God's favor, it is necessary to have your sins canceled. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you need to be restored tonight, we'd encourage you to do it. If you want to become a Christian tonight, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. Will you come now, even as we together stand and as we sing?
I can hear my Savior calling. Where he